nutrition advice on Talk About in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Now, regular listeners will know that Anne is usually with us on the first Thursday of the month, so she's a little bit late. I think we're on the third Thursday of the month now at this stage. But Anne, you've a very good reason. You got caught, thanks to Donald Trump, you got caught on the other side of the world.
I know, I had gone to Australia because I had a few people I wanted to see over there, and I had a family member who was unwell and turns out to be fine. But when I got out there, then, of course, all the flights got cancelled. So I was on Emirates coming back through Dubai, and that got cancelled. Now, fair play, they refunded half my fare back. But I did end up coming back through America. And so, you know, on the very first week when it happens, all the fares shot through the roof. You know, you were seeing fares coming back through China and other places, all about $4,000 Australian. So I got back for $1,500.
So you ended up in Australia.
It cost me money, but...
You ended up away from home for how many weeks longer than intended?
A week. About 8 days longer.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a nice experience. Coming back through America, I met so many people that were coming in on those flights that were heading back to Europe that were so used to going through the Middle East now. And I know we've always been doing Singapore and Malaysia, but they were just inundated. So, and even a lot of those Singapore flights were actually coming back through either Qatar, you know, using Qatar or using Dubai, you know, so it really upset the whole world to travel.
It did. But look, you're home now. I'd say you're glad to be home.
Yeah, but I was like, you know, in my brothers, I can imagine there had to be an awful lot of fear attached to people who were in those countries where missiles were being dropped and everything. You know, we actually still had it nice. We just got disrupted travel. Other people were living in the fear of, you know, being hurt and sure what's going on in the countries around the world. It's, you know,
yeah,
we have such peace here that...
Yeah,
you know,
it puts it into focus, doesn't
it? We're lucky.
It? Well, yeah. Look, it's great you're home safe and in one piece, and thank you for popping into us. Now, I know we have a topic we want to come to in a moment, but look, since we were discussing food earlier in the programme, I know you mightn't have heard it, but the whole criticism around the school meal scheme and a lot of the quality of food that comes into primary schools now, parents are complaining about low quality chicken nuggets, soggy pizza, stuff like that. Any thoughts about the whole school meal thing?
And I had somebody in earlier who actually mentioned school meal and then said, well, sure, none of meat, they don't eat it. So, you know, it's an awful shame that if they are providing food, I believe that you should be eating good, healthy food. And that good, healthy food, if you're a child who's used to that at home, then it's very hard to revert back to eating nuggets and soggy pizza in school. You know, you want quality building of a brain. You want that child to be able to learn. You don't want them to be on processed foods as part of their lunch, do you know? And if, again, you're back to if people did their own lunch and were bringing good lunches, or if they were provided with good lunches. Because on the other side of it, that school lunches, look at Meals on Wheels. All over this country, there are places that are cooking real food that is going out to the elderly in the community. And when you look at their meals, there are local people that are cooking local meals, and it's they're like real dinners. That's really what could be done in the school.
Yeah, and you'd wonder, would maybe like massive pots of homemade soup and nice sandwiches made with brown bread be better?
Yeah, and I don't know who's providing. It depends then, you know, it's funding. How much funding has been allocated to it? And is there enough to provide good food? I don't even know what's coming out, but I know that, you see, I don't have kids in the schools now to see what they're eating because my kids are older. But you want good quality food because if, you know, I wanted to talk about inflammation today and there are foods that are pro-inflammatory. Well, processed foods are more pro-inflammatory and then you have anti-inflammatory. What can you be eating that's real food, real fruit and berries and nuts and seeds and, you know, that when you're making a dinner that has real vegetables, all of that with all its fibre is an anti-inflammatory food. Whereas a lot of the processed foods and the high sugar foods are foods that will trigger a high sugar and then into high insulin. You know, they're not good foods to be loading the kids with. And if you're wanting to build good habits, they're certainly not what you want. You don't want the school to be creating a bad habit in maybe a child whose family are eating really well and then they go in and they get, you know, what's kind of junk food, you know?
Yeah, this is it. And like when you say a food is inflammatory, give me some examples of inflammatory foods.
And then what is inflammation? Because somebody said to me, when I speak about inflammation, not everybody understands what that is. But, you know, inflammation in itself is where you can have swelling, you know, that you're a bit puffy in joints, that there's pain. So you can have pain in joints, but you can have pain, you can have a gut inflammation, and now you have a swollen, painful belly because maybe the glands are swollen in your belly. And so pain, heat, that you'll feel this heat, you know, that people say, I feel like I'm burning in my joints, or I feel like, and then loss of function. So if you have joints that are inflamed or inflamed, you might not be able to move that shoulder as well. But if you have a belly that's inflamed, it might not absorb all that nutrition and give you the goodness to create your energy and to build you. And when you have inflammation, you'll hear people say, oh, I'm taking this as an anti-inflammatory. So there's an awful lot of medicines out there that are anti-inflammatory medicines. But fish oils are anti-inflammatory. Turmeric is anti-inflammatory. But when you're eating and you want to eat for anti-inflammatory, you want nuts and seeds. They have anti-inflammatory nutrients. But the berries with all their colours, you know, they say polyphenols are all the colours in the blueberries, the blackberries, you know, strawberries. They all have different things. Quercetin is high in apples. You know, we grew up on stewed apple. Maybe there was nothing else, but we were on stewed apple a lot. And quercetin is high in stewed apple. It's one of the bioflavonoids. And it's great for people with, you know, dry skin, itchy skin, quercetin. Quercetin is known as an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant. Or sometimes I'll buy powdered cloves. Now, if you like cloves in your apple tart, you like cloves in your stewed apple.
So I chop them up.
You can buy powdered cloves in the little jars.
No, the apples.
Oh, the apples I chop up. And I leave the skins on because the quercetin and all those good bioflavonoids are in the skin. So I tend to buy organic apples, leave the skin on. The pears I buy are not organic, and I still leave the skin on because I don't think anybody's above spraying on the top of the trees, you know, where we're getting the pears. So I'll just wash them and leave the skins on. And then if you want, you can put strawberries with them if you like. You can boil in the strawberries, especially if your strawberries are going a bit soggy and you think you're throwing them out. Boil them up with apples instead. And some people will do cream with that, and some people will do custard, whatever, or you just have the stewed apple on its own. Now, when you do pork in this country, we all go with pork
apple
and
sauce.
We do applesauce, we do stewed apple. But stewed apple is a really good, it's a fibre, it's good for your gut. It has pectin that heals the gut. So the stewed apple, that glugginess of a stewed apple, it's healing to your gut. So anyone with gut issues, I'll often recommend they go on stewed apple. But quercetin is high in stewed apple, and quercetin helps to carry zinc into the cells. So you'll often hear me talk about zinc and people being low in zinc, and look at your fingernails to see, is there any white spots? The white spot on your fingernail is often an indication of low zinc, and you want to carry the zinc in. So when you're eating broccoli and apples and you're eating red meat with your broccoli, say the red meat or liver that has high zinc and high iron, then the quercetin that's in the broccoli will help you to carry the zinc into your cells. So when we talk about having this plate of food that has the meat and the vegetables, the two of them together, they're synergistic, really. They're working together so that when all that nutrition goes in, your body will just digest it in the stomach, send it down to the gut. You're absorbing all the good nutrition. And somewhere down in that gut, there's a regulation system that says, this is how much zinc you need today. And you don't need that excess, and you will get rid of it. It'll stay in your bowel. Your body has the mechanism that will just absorb what it needs and get rid of what it doesn't need.
Okay.
You still have to eat it. You still have to digest it. And then I often look at all the different conditions people have. So when people are inflamed, there's inflammatory joints. There's things like lupus. There's people that would just say, I've just this terrible gut discomfort. There's so many inflammatory conditions that are out there. Anything ending in itis, even an ear infection, is otitis media, or, you know, bronchitis when it's in your chest, or if it's in gastritis in your stomach, or esophagitis. So when you hear the word itis at the end of your diagnosis,
it means inflamed.
You are inflamed in that area. So you want to just reduce the inflammation.
Just coming back to the stewed apples for a minute, and I don't know if this is in the same field or not, but I read somewhere recently, or maybe I heard it on a podcast, that the best way to eat tomatoes is to cook them, that there's something in the cooking of the tomatoes, there's some nutrient.
Yeah, lycopene.
Oh, is that what that is?
Do you know what the lycopene is really well known for? It's for helping reduce the prostate. So for men that have an inflamed prostate, prostatitis, then having stewed tomatoes, boiling up your tomatoes, it extracts more lycopene.
Or pop them in the air fryer?
Pop them in the air fryer. Yeah, you mostly find that people will boil them up in a pot. And then you know, some people will just skim away all the skins and all the seeds even. But, I mean, I'll tend to eat the seeds, but I'll often skim away the skins in that. You have to look at how do the Italian mothers make all those pasta sauces, and I think they tend to pop their tomatoes into boiling water and the skin will just lift off it. So when they're cooking their pasta sauces, they're often taking the skin off their tomatoes.
Okay. A listener says, and sweet apples don't stew very well.
I know. They don't give you the big syrup that you want.
Yeah.
They stew perfectly fine, but they're not going to give you the syrup that you grew up on. And here's the problem. Sugar has, you know, if we were burning off sugar we were eating, then we wouldn't have a problem. But we're having excess sugar. Our insulin levels are rising. We are creating belly fat and fat in the liver. We are disrupting sugar balance and we're developing more insulin resistance that can lead to type 2 diabetes, that doubles the risk for Alzheimer's, that creates more of an influence, a bad influence on heart disease. One of the first signs of insulin resistance is when your blood pressure goes up. So when you're eating sugar and you're not burning off the sugar or you're craving excess sugar, then you are disrupting your system. So if you're going through life, you don't have a pain or an ache, you have loads of energy, your mood is great, you sleep well when you go to bed at night, your digestion is so good that you don't even have to think about it. You just eat when you're hungry and you go and pee and poo and everything is fine, that you don't have to think about yourself and your health. You're not obsessing. You don't have to think about it. It's happening naturally that your body is functioning. Then it's not an issue.
Then you're obviously eating the right stuff.
And if you're not, you have to say, what's going
wrong?
What's
going on?
What have I to do to fix it?
A listener's just been on, Anne, and says, I broke my ankle last year and the inflammation in my ankle is so bad. Would Anne have any advice for me?
I do think people should be on a cod liver oil because the essential fats are naturally anti-inflammatory. That's the essential fatty acids that are in the fish oils. And then you also have vitamin A and vitamin D, which has a healing aspect to it. I like turmeric. And I, you know, if you have an inflammation, I recommend you take a teaspoon of turmeric a day. You need black pepper to enhance the absorption. You need some oil to enhance the absorption. So I'm saying to people, go out and buy a big bag of turmeric, a bag with ginger powder, turmeric powder, ginger powder, maybe some cinnamon powder to help regulate your insulin levels. Might as well put that in. If you're going to make this soup, you might as well supercharge it. And then you can have a teaspoon of turmeric, maybe half teaspoon of ginger, which also settles your digestion, as well as being an anti-inflammatory. Add some bouillon. I buy the Swiss bouillon in the health shop. And then now I'm making it into a little mug of soup. And I add a teaspoon of coconut oil, that hard coconut oil. That's what I like in it. I know it'll be greasy on the top of it. But and then you add black pepper to help enhance. And I often put in some, enhance the absorption of turmeric. And then I'll often add some sea salt for the minerals in sea salt. And for some people who want chili, I'll add chili. I'll often put chili into mine and it heats you up. Now, on a day of sunshine like today, nobody's going looking for chili. On the cold days, people definitely want chili. But chili is another fantastic circulatory stimulant for your joints. So okay. When people have joint pain, adding chili to that mix is fantastic.
Very good. We have to take a break at this point, but stay with us. And a quick reminder to listeners, if you have any food-related query for Anne, maybe you're inflamed, maybe you have a different health complaint and you're starting to wonder, could it all be going back to what you're eating? Well, why not pick Anne's brains? She's going to stay with us for another while on 083 300 3300. Or if you want to phone Brenda with your question, 066 712 3666. Back shortly.
Nutrition advice on Talkabout in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Right, Anne, let's come to some questions. This one from a listener says, Anne, what food lowers your blood sugar?
Chromium is one of the minerals that helps to control your blood sugar. And that's high in whole grains, or you can take a supplement. 200 micrograms a day was often enough, maybe 500. But whole grains, and if you eat foods that contain chromium. The other one is cinnamon. So cinnamon helps to regulate your blood sugars as well. And a half teaspoon to a full teaspoon of cinnamon in a day. Oats, you know, having something that's a high fiber food helps to control blood sugar. So when you're eating quick sugars, then your insulin levels will go up and down, your blood sugars will go up and down. If you eat whole food, so when you eat meat and vegetables and you still have that potato with it, you know when people here put butter on your potato? Butter helps to stabilize the sugar release from the potato. The potato itself is a full fiber food that is not, you'd think, oh, that's a carb and a starch. But having a potato balanced with your meat and your vegetables, that real diet. But if you're eating pasta and you don't put meat or you don't put oil on it, then the pasta on its own, with no supporting protein and fat with it. So when you have pasta and say if somebody puts Parmesan cheese with it, the protein and the fat in the cheese balanced with the carbohydrate, the starch that's in the pasta, then you have more of a balanced food. I really believe in people making salads and getting, especially look at the weather, we're back into, I eat salads right through the winter anyway. But, you know, when you think about raw vegetable fibre that's going to fill your gut and it keeps your blood sugar stable for longer, because the food, the good bulk of vegetables in your stomach helps to slow the release of food moving through your stomach and your gut, and you are fed and you are more stable. You're fed for longer. You're satisfied for longer.
Here's an interesting one from a listener who is just about to start radiotherapy. And they're wondering what are the do's and don'ts, and I presume they mean from a food point of view.
From a food point of view, you still want to eat healthily and well. And of course, it depends on where your radiation is going to be and whether your diet and whether your eating habits have been disrupted. Because if it's a digestive radiation, that can disrupt the way you eat. I've had seen people with mouth and throat cancers that are getting radiation, and they really have to go down to almost blended foods that, you know, that you've mashed up your food and blended your soups and things. But in general, you want good high antioxidant foods to help. And that's the fruit and the berries, nuts and seeds, you know, having a meat and vegetable dinner, you know, having good foods that are going to give you good protein repair. Because when we eat good protein and we're able to dissolve it in our stomach, that we have a good digestion, you know, and if you don't take a digestive enzyme to help you digest your food, because for you to repair as that radiation is going into your system, you want to be able to repair your body as well. You want to get good protein-rich foods. What's protein-rich? Eggs, meat, cheese, you know, all those good, rich in protein foods, I think are good.
A listener asks, will you ask Anne, is Simprov Daily Live?
It's a probiotic.
And Active Biteria, is that good for you?
Yeah, so Simprov is one of the probiotics that has a strain of different groups, you know, Lactobacillus acidophilus, bifidobacteria, and there's different ranges of bacteria in different supplements. So sometimes I will choose the Simprov and other times I will choose a different one. You know, if I want to reduce histamine in a person, I'm looking for Lactobacillus rhamnosus, because Lactobacillus rhamnosus helps reduce down histamine levels in people. And histamine is what causes itch. Mm. So if you have itchy skin or you've got hay fevery kind of symptoms, you know, with a lot of itch in your nose or eyes, I will often use a different type of one. So you just look at, there's a range. It's a good product.
Okay. A listener says, would Anne know how to reverse type 2 diabetes? I've just been diagnosed. My GP has given me 3 months to get the level down to 48. It's currently 54 before he puts me on medication.
Yeah.
Now, as a nurse, you'll know what all that means.
It means that the hemoglobin A1C, so the sugar coating that is on your red blood cells that should be under 42, they said 48. He's settling for 48 without medication and giving them time to get it down even further. That sugar coating is from the last 3 months on your red blood cell. How much sugar have you been eating? So you start controlling your sugars. If you added in cinnamon and you added in chromium, it would help you to get the sugars into the cells better. Remember, getting sugar into the cell, you burn it off for energy. Like putting fuel in your car and you burn it off for energy. When you have type 2 diabetes, you're having a problem with insulin resistance. Your insulin is too high and you've become resistant to the sugar getting in. It's like you need the sugar in the cell to make energy, but you can't get it in. And that's why I often say take chromium. Niacin is a vitamin B3 that also helps. And alpha-lipoic acid. And you'll often, those three nutrients, chromium, niacin and alpha-lipoic acid, will often come in kind of a glucose nutrient supplement that you can buy all three together. So I see a lot of people with type 2 who already are, who come in and they want, what can I do to not let this happen? You have to change your diet. You have to get rid of excess sugars. You want to start eating, like I had feta cheese, bacon, avocado. This is my breakfast. I had spinach and tomato, and I cooked up some mushrooms. That was my breakfast today. So, you know, there was no starchy carbs in that breakfast. And I can eat that and have a stable sugar, you know, right up until my lunchtime. Mm. Do you know? So you have to eat without all the quick starchy carbs.
Okay, that's a good blueprint for that person. Mm-hmm. And we wish them the best in reversing their type 2 diabetes. Here's a great question, actually. This listener says, I usually have porridge in the morning for breakfast with cinnamon, but I always feel hungry about an hour later. I never feel satisfied with porridge.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I would say maybe you can have a bowl of porridge and a boiled egg or two boiled eggs. Maybe you'll switch it over and see, do you do better like I do with the breakfast that I have, which is more protein and fat based with vegetables. But if she wants to stay with porridge, I would say start supercharging your porridge with protein and fat in the form of nuts and seeds. So you could put in a teaspoon of peanut butter or almond butter. You could put in, say, 2 tablespoons of chia seeds or flax seeds. And then that may slow the release, slow the passage of your porridge through your stomach so that your stomach's not empty. Slow the emptying of your stomach so you're not hungry again so fast.
Okay. A listener said, oh, just bear with me 1 second now. Oh, yes. You mentioned something for itching earlier when there was itchy skin.
For
what
the
was that?
High histamine. For people who are producing high histamine, we'll often call it now mast cell disorder, that there's so much inflammatory and high itch, high histamine problems. Lactobacillus rhamnosus is one that will reduce down histamine.
That's a probiotic.
That's a probiotic. So lactobacillus bifidobacteria and lactobacillus rhamnosus. But also what reduces the itch is quercetin. And I mentioned that earlier. That's when we're talking about stewed apple and broccoli, the foods that are high in quercetin. We also have methylation nutrients. The methylated are the activated nutrients. So methylfolate, methylated B12. You have to methylate away the histamine that's raised in your body. So there's certain people with high histamine that I recommend methylated B vitamins, and they're available, you know, BioCare, they're in the health shops.
Another question for you, Anne, they're really coming in now. This listener says, Anne, is it enough to clean berries, is water enough to clean berries, etc., prior to eating them? Or is this not enough to wash off chemicals?
You know, it's probably not enough to wash off chemicals, but if you start using anything else, you know, you can take, say, vinegar and wash the wax off of apples and stuff, for example. But you try and do that to berries, you're just going to destroy the berries. You prefer to buy, if you saw berries that you buy today and they're going off soon, they haven't been sprayed. There's no preservatives on those. If you've brought home blueberries and they're still there a month later, there had to have been some preservative on those. You know, they're very hard to wash those off. So you're wanting to buy something that's coming in fresh and going off and eat it before it goes off.
Listener says, oh, this is about porridge. Oh, yeah, sorry, that's to do with school meals. People are still getting in touch about that. And, oh, yes, one final one. I knew there was one more. Anne, is it possible to have an allergy to coconut? As I got sick recently after eating a curry made with coconut milk and also a coconut bun.
Yeah, you could. And just remember, coconut is also a fat. And have you a problem with fats? And is it anything to do with your gallbladder? Or is it to do with the coconut specifically? So, you know, be in a healthy state, try the coconut again. And then if you react again, then it's probably the coconut. If you're able to eat butter and all the other fatty foods that are out there without a problem, then you'd say it's probably not your gallbladder. I'll often recommend buying a digestive enzyme that has bile. I know it sounds awful, but ox bile is in some of the supplements. So if you have no gallbladder at all, or if you have a problem digesting fatty foods, and ever since your gallbladder acted up, you have been avoiding fatty foods. And remember, we need fatty foods. They help with satiety. They help us to feel full for longer when we have some of the fats. But if you have a gallbladder problem or it's been removed, then you don't have this storage little bottle of of bile. So Solgar has an enzyme that has 100 milligrams of bile, and iHerb, you can get on an order online and order some bile supplements. So it could be a coconut problem. Now, she could do a food intolerance test, send away her blood to be tested and discover whether or not you have a reaction to coconut and avoid it. But I would just say, if you get sick again on it, then avoid it. Know that your body doesn't like it. If Very it's good. A fatty problem, then I would say take an enzyme with it, which will help you digest it rather than react.
We better let you go, Anne. We're gone over time, but loads of interesting questions and some great information there this afternoon. Remind people before we let you go how they can contact you and where you're based.
So I'm here in All Therapy Centre in Rock Street in Tralee, and the number is 087-775-9385. And I am here Thursdays and some Fridays.
Very good. And you'll be back to us on the first Thursday in April, back to normal.
I will. We'll get in just before Easter.
Great stuff. Lovely to see you, Anne, and welcome back to Irish shores after all your drama.
Back to the sunshine.
Back to the sunshine, exactly. That's Anne Darcy.